welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, November 13th, 2017, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And a wild ride it is, to be sure. It just gets wilder all the time. Very, very, very strange. Things are all connected. And things get stranger. We'll talk this week about how things have been accelerating, it seems. You know, I used to say, and I've mentioned it on air, I've been asked a number of times, Chris, when do you think Jesus will return? And of course we know Jesus himself said, no man knows the day or the hour, not even the Son. Only the Father knows. We know this, but he also encouraged us to be vigilant, watchful, and to know the signs of the times and the times of the signs. And so with that in mind, it's a good idea to kind of be paying attention, so to speak. And so I used to say, you know, I mean, people have joked in church often, any day now. But I used to say, kind of based on what old school bad guys say, things that people have written, books like Ray Kurzweil's The Age of Spiritual Machines, I was thinking that it would probably be around 100 years from now, somewhere around the turn of the next century. And I'm not so sure anymore. I think it would be pretty miraculous at the rate things are accelerating if Jesus didn't return by 2050. So, and that's based on the same writings, but things are accelerating. Speaking of Ray Kurzweil and his book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, you know, he dedicated the last half of the book to discussing what we could expect, or what he expected. And really it was a roadmap. But the chapters talked about what the coming decades would hold. Chapters like 20, the book was published in 1999. And so he looked decades into the future. Chapter 11, 2029, is one of the chapters that I quote from often. Actually, might be a good idea to read that based on what's been happening lately. So let me give you that real fast. And you can look it up online. You can find a PDF copy. I encourage folks to read it if you can stomach it. The Age of Spiritual Machines, the title says it all. And of course, Ray Kurzweil is heading up research and development over at Google these days. He's the guy who built a laptop in a briefcase in high school back in the 60s. So that's the kind of guy Ray Kurzweil is. He's always had an intimate love of technology. And so The Age of Spiritual Machines, in my opinion, the title says it all. But from the chapter in question, chapter 11, titled 2029, he wrote these words. This is what we can expect. And so now, as we see artificial intelligence on the rise, we can kind of understand what he was doing. You know, he wrote in these chapters dedicated to what the future would hold about an AI bot that accompanied him along a journey into the future. And this bot was getting smarter and talking, and soon it was indistinguishable from human intelligence. And so really, I think the operative concept this week without getting too far off on an existentialist rant, is that as we're hearing about artificial intelligence, as we're hearing about machine learning, the way that we could think of it really, as helped by folks like Ray Kurzweil, it's interesting. In the same sense, I find, without exception, folks that are advancing evolution as this cause they're championing, scientists, anyone who really carries a torch for evolution, is almost always, without exception, a eugenicist, because that's really what evolution is all about. As I've said before, Francis Galton, who is the man who coined the term eugenics, by the way, cousin of Charles Darwin. When Francis Galton read Darwin's book, and it's always important to recall what is the full title of the book in question. What is the full title? I've mentioned this before. My friend, a good friend of mine, always encourages me, Chris, what is the full title of Darwin's book? All anyone ever says is the bold printed words, The Origin of Species. That's not the full title of the book. The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Well, who decides who the favored races are? You see what I'm saying? That obviously implies the hidden hand of history at work, if you follow me. The full title of Darwin's book we never discuss. The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. So who decides which races are favored? I leave it to the listener to read and discover for oneself. And you will learn, if you don't already know, that Charles Darwin et al., including cousin Francis Galton et al., the Huxleys, et cetera, et cetera, they were the most racist people you would ever encounter. Just, I mean, awful, really. And yet this is something that this concept was circulating in the highest, the elite circles of academia and society. Francis Galton coined the term eugenics. So everyone that's carrying a torch for evolution is a eugenicist, meaning essentially a racist, a bigot, someone who thinks that certain people are biologically inferior and therefore they must die. That's what Galton wrote to Darwin. Paraphrasing one of the letters, it's very difficult to find now. I saw that around 10 years ago, and I forget where it was. I should have grabbed a copy of it. But at one point, Francis Galton essentially read Origin of Species, wrote Darwin a letter, and said, "Congratulations, this book is a fantastic work, mainly because it frees us from the theological argument that all life is priceless. And now we can tell people they're biologically inferior. Therefore, they must die." And people have been aping that. When you hear people say stupid people shouldn't breed, or, you know, you should have a license to have kids, they're parroting eugenicist talking points. Don't be a eugenicist. If we're going to do anything, let's go back and read Genesis. We could even start after the flood and hear the command that's reissued by God in Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 and verses 9 and 7. Verse 1, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" And remember, Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." That's bad. And Peter reminds us in 2 Peter chapter 2 that only 8 made it out alive. Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, their 3 wives. So that's 8 people. That's a sobering reminder. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Then we skip forward to verse 7. The command is reissued. As for you, be fruitful and multiply. Populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. You know, a big family, if you've ever experienced one, is a blessing. Sure, it comes with its share of heartache and troubles, but it's a blessing. There are a number of verses in the Bible that corroborate that, and so we'll leave it at that. So the origin of species by means of natural selection or the preservation of favored races and the struggle for life. In the same way that evolutionists are, without exception, eugenicists, which is bad. In the same way, folks like Ray Kurzweil, who carry a torch for technology in the way that Ray Kurzweil does, are essentially carrying water for demonic forces. And the title of Ray Kurzweil's book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, really says it all. But the operative concept, like I said, without getting too far off on an existential rant, is simply this. Imagine intelligence, consciousness, without a soul. And now you'll understand what's happening here. God created man in his own image with a soul. And this technology that is moving toward what we call consciousness, a level of intelligence that would connote consciousness, but without a soul, is what we're talking about. And so if you understand that, then it's no surprise when you see the stories like what we've talked about, the fact that Microsoft's Taybot, for example, and all of the others, for that matter, always end up being racist, bigoted, awful bots. And people will say, yeah, but you know, they learned from their surroundings, or the folks on Twitter that were trying to, it doesn't matter. The AI can learn. It's machine learning based programming. So the question is, why does it always gravitate that direction? Why have we seen these books that paint a dystopic future without exception? You know, what seems to be happening is sort of robo-apocalypse scenario. If you are familiar with that series of books, it's horrifying. I remember when my son, I've mentioned this before, but I remember when my son started reading the first book that he got from the library. The first day he started reading it, he was frightened. And I said, I don't think you should be reading that. He read it for school. And by the first night of reading the first day, he was so terrified he couldn't sleep all night. He had to lay next to me, literally, like be able to touch me. He was so terrified. But this is the scenario that we see shaping up. Robots in an iRobot fashion. It has no soul. So then what runs it? On what impetus does it operate, so to speak? And so then from there, like I said, without getting off on an existentialist rant, you know, you get into the subject of where this technology came from and why it's here. But again, I leave it to the listener. The bottom line is, as Ray Kurzweil wrote in the title of his book, The Age of Spiritual Machines, what is a spiritual machine? So transhumanism is a gateway to posthumanism. It is a gateway to the overrun of Earth by demonic forces, disembodied spirits, if you will, otherwise known as demons. And this is a way for them to inhabit something. You have to get rid of mankind, because with mankind still here, there's still a possibility that there might be a revolt. So we got to get rid of mankind. Transhumanism is a gateway to allow mankind to accept this demonic infiltration and even really kind of help usher it in, as we see with the great pioneers of technology, like Ray Kurzweil, for example. But you'll find that these folks, like Ray Kurzweil, you'll never find a Ray Kurzweil type guy who would say, or a Richard Seed or any of these guys who say that they are a Christian. It's not possible. They're mutually exclusive. In the same way that eugenicists are, or evolutionists are always eugenicists in the same way. And they sometimes they don't even know it. In the same way, these technologists like Ray Kurzweil, they understand oftentimes, you know, at the highest levels, the Ray Kurzweils, the Richard Seeds, the Tim Berners-Lees, Richard Dawkins, these top-level technologists, they know. They you can infer based on what they say that they know more than they're letting on. They call themselves atheists, or the public will call them atheists, but that's disingenuous. They're working for the dark side is really kind of a more honest accounting of who they really are. So that's it's interesting. Why is that always the case, rhetorically speaking? So from Ray Kurzweil's The Age of Spiritual Machines, the operative passage from Chapter 11, 2029, what to expect? Displays are now – what does the future hold, he says, and this would be around 10 years away. Displays are now implanted in the eyes with a choice of permanent implants or removable implants similar to contact lenses. Images are projected directly onto the retina, providing the usual high-resolution three-dimensional overlay of the, on the physical world. Imagine, you know, that Terminator thing on your eye. Horrible. Heads-up display on your eye. These implanted visual displays also act as cameras to capture visual images and thus are both input and output devices. Fun, your contacts or your permanent contacts or a camera. Cochlear implants, originally used just for the hearing impaired, this is why I don't like cochlear implants, are now ubiquitous. These implants provide auditory communication in both directions between the human user and the worldwide computing network. Yay. Direct, here's the scary part. Listen to this. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. Listen, this is what the future holds. These people, you know, the Philip K. Dick novels and the scenarios that we've seen in the movies based on his books, Blade Runner, newly released. Are these, you know, no, I have memories. These are my memories. I'm real. No, those are the memories of the creator's niece. Those aren't your memories. So here are your memories. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. And you guys all have the same memories. Why is that? Because they were borrowed from your creator's niece. Or total recall. Are these my memories? Did this really happen? Listen to what Ray Kurzweil wrote. This was published back in 1999. This is what these bad guys are working on right now. They've mapped, you know, if you go to the World Economic Forum's past discussions, you'll hear, for example, that they're just ecstatic that they've mapped monkey dreams. They're mapping dreams and things. And they can record them and they can implant them, actually. How fun. No, it's awful. It's horrific. So direct neural pathways, this is what Kurzweil predicts in the future. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. Well, how does that work? The web directly in your brain? Have you been listening lately? The IoT discussion, the Internet of Things discussion. You know, at one of the latest tech conferences, Eric Schmidt of Google has said, among many other folks that are saying this, the internet will vanish. What does that mean? The internet will disappear, he said. We ought to play that clip. The internet will disappear. Maybe we'll play that. And guess where he said that? Among other places, the World Economic Forum. This is a statement that is, you know, I mentioned it's been a couple of years already, but it's been more than that. What was it? Not this past January 2017, but 2016, I believe, at World Economic Forum was when Chairman and Founder Klaus Schwab, old school bad guy, said, we are in the midst of the fourth industrial revolution. It's happening now. And that was a kind of an announcement of the acceleration. And then last month we had Davos in the Desert, the financial investment initiative in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, where, of course, Sophia was given more rights, citizenship in Saudi Arabia, more rights than women in Saudi Arabia. A robot that, as Richie from Boston observes, you know, the creators say it's fashioned after to look like Audrey Hepburn, which is it's grotesque looking, but it looks more like the villainous robot in Ex Machina that kills its creator, which is not an accident, I'm sure. So then, you know, we've had that in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We had the all kinds of other nonsense. We'll talk about the Economy 2.0 announcement at Davos in the Desert. And, of course, the, you know, Tokyo issuing residency to AI story as well. All of these things happening all at the same time. You know, the, as I mentioned last week, the news focusing on transgender people as an example of society advancing. We're getting more tolerant. We're getting better. No, this is all just gateway to transhumanism and ultimately the destruction of mankind. But what does it mean when folks like Eric Schmidt say the internet will disappear? I'm wondering if we have time for that. We might have to have one of the clips, but we might have to hold that until All right, listen to this. This is Eric Schmidt from Google saying the internet will disappear. Go ahead, please.
Eric Schmidt, Google's executive chairman, made an interesting statement that is raising a few eyebrows. Take a listen.
I would answer very simply that the internet will disappear. The internet will be, there'll be so many IP addresses because of IPv6, so many devices, sensors, things that you're wearing, things that you're interacting with, that you won't even sense it. It'll be part of your presence all the time.
Those are some provocative words right now. So joining us now to break it down is Jag Bath. He's Senior VP of Products at RetailMeNot. Jag, what did Schmidt mean when he said the internet is basically going to disappear?
Well, it's a bold statement for sure, but it's also a play on words. What he really means is he's talking about the way we used to access the internet and how we access it now and how that's changing. So we used to access the internet, you know, by sitting at our desktop computers, connecting to the internet, surfing the web. But now our phones are connected, our cars are connected, our watches are connected, and everything in our home is connected. And so the act of actually physically connecting to the internet is changing. We're just connected all the time.
And just to dig into that a little bit more, Schmidt said a, quote, highly personalized, highly interactive, and very, very interesting world will emerge. What does that mean? Does that speak to this Internet of Things?
Yeah, for sure. When you're always connected, you're sharing data when you're always connected. And so leveraging that data to push you information that is relevant to you is what he's really talking about.
Okay, and just to shift gears here, this isn't the first headline we've gotten out of Google or from a Google executive this week. We're also getting news that Google's looking to get into the telecom business, working with T-Mobile and Sprint. What does the future hold for wireless carriers, especially when you realize how much competition is already underway in that space?
Yeah, well, their entry is going to change things a lot. Based on their history, they're probably going to disrupt the space pretty dramatically. They've done this with email. They've done this with maps. They're doing this with cars. They've
enough.
Obviously done it with search as well. So they're going to innovate a lot.
You get the point. I hope it's terrifying. There's much more, but think about it. That's exactly what Kurzweil wrote. Listen, direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. This allows bypassing certain neural regions, for example, visual pattern recognition, long-term memory, and augmenting or replacing the functions of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. You heard direct connection to the internet, always online. We'll be right back.
In to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Thank you. camera converts the picture into a television signal.
Getting ahead of myself a little bit. Let me back up a little bit. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem themselves to be, and or those of us who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. There is perhaps some good news. Watching on television families that are, large families having many children, many grandchildren. I think it's fantastic. That's good news. There was the story of the New York Church, the pastor who vows to protect his parishioners. We'll get to that story here in a little bit. New York Church, we are not a gun-free zone. On the church, Lighthouse Mexico Church of God in New York, their reader board actually said, this Sunday, we say it again, we are not a gun-free zone. We'll get to that story. I think it's fantastic. Robert Heinlein put it best, an armed society is a polite society. I forget how he said that after that. Manners are good when one may have to back up one's acts with one's life, I think is how he put that. So it's funny, Granny probably is safer when bad guys don't know if Granny's packing, It's really just that simple. And remember, again, I say it all the time, the Second Amendment has nothing to do with personal defense, personal protection, home defense, family. It has nothing to do with that. Why is that an important distinction? Well, because then you'll have idiots that say things like, no one needs a 30-round magazine to defend themselves or their family. Or, if you can't defend yourself with one round or five rounds or whatever, then, and no one needs a 30-round magazine to hunt. Nope, absolutely. That is a fact. However, if you read the Second Amendment, which says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, you understand those words mean that it's a matter of national security, quite frankly. Federal security, whatever you want. It's a matter of national security. If you love freedom, if you love security, which I think is the argument that we talk about, isn't it? If we love freedom and security as a country, then a well-regulated militia is essential to that. And what is essential to that? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. But we have offloaded the responsibility of the well-regulated militia to a professional military that the Constitution does not sanction. In fact, that is anathema to the concept of the founders. If you read the Constitution, you will find there is no authorization for the Department of Defense. You'll find that there is no authorization for the National Security Act of 1947. What you'll find instead in Article 1, Section 8 is these words: Congress has the power to declare war. Congress alone has the power to declare war. Yeah, but the president can, sanction skirmishes. Yes, I would encourage folks to read Senate Report 93-549 on that matter that was authored by the Senate Committee to abolish the national emergency or terminate the national emergency. Incidentally, the national emergency that dates back to the Lincoln era, by that committee's own admission, has not been abolished. It has been expanded and was, in fact, that report, that very report, was used by the Bush administration, Bush 2, just a week after the events of September 11, 2001, in a Congressional Research Service report, CRS report, that was dated September 18th, 2001. And it cited a number of the points of research that the Senate Report 93-549 brought to light So what I'm saying is Bush 2 administration used a report that was intended to terminate the national emergency. The Bush 2 administration used that very same research as a pretext to expand its authority to do almost anything. Now we've seen an expansion of the expansion. Now we're seeing, you know, we hear talk of the AUMF, the authorization for use of military force. That was originally to go attack Iraq, a country that still no one can prove has any connection to anything that happened on September 11th or before or after. It's a country that's been attacked for decades. And why? I mean, go ask a person on the street, what evidence is there to support the more than a million people, more than a million Iraqis that have been killed, the just gutting of the country, decimating it? Same thing in Afghanistan. We've been there so long now, and you'll perhaps recall recently that the Trump administration quietly announced that it's no longer going to report the numbers on the conflict in Afghanistan. You know, we've been there so long, everyone's just bored of it. No one really wants to hear the numbers anymore. Incidentally, you'll hear that probably spun in the media coming soon. Oh, look, the numbers are down. No, they're not. They're not being reported. Quietly announced a couple of weeks ago, I think. Now, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Unbelievable. We spent over $1 trillion fighting in Afghanistan, not to mention the point that I always want to circle back around to and remind folks of. We created the enemy. As Hillary Clinton said in her interview with Greta Van Susteren in Pakistan, on the Afghan-Pakistan border, Greta's on the record broadcast. Remember Hillary's remarks? Well, to be fair, the enemy that we're fighting today, we supported in the fight against the Soviets. That's disingenuous. If you really understand the history, as I always try to help folks do, you understand that the CIA's Operation Cyclone created the Afghan Mujahideen ostensibly to fight the Soviets, but you listen to Zbigniew Brzezinski, Carter's national security advisor who recently passed away. Listening to him, he admits we created both sides of the conflict. That is not a new phenomenon. That is not some, that's not a, it's not an anomaly. That is the standard operating procedure for these people. They create all sides of all conflicts. Brzezinski, who we play the video clip every once in a while, the newsreel footage of him landing on the Afghan-Pakistan border, the Khyber Pass, and he jumps out, talks to the Mujahideen that the CIA recruited, gives him a pep talk, and says, "Your cause will be successful because you are your cause is right, and God is on your side. You're going to get your homes back and your mosques back." The announcer says he wanted to talk to them without revealing America's role, and the announcer calls them the soldiers of God, the Mujahideen, now the now Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, ISIS, ISIL, Lashkar-e-Taiba, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Al-Nusra, Khorasan Group. Name a faction. They're all offshoots of what the CIA created. Brzezinski's there telling them they're soldiers of God, their cause is going to be successful. Meanwhile, he also admitted that we didn't force the Soviets into Afghanistan, but we created a situation that made it virtually impossible for them not to intervene or invade. Part of that situation was, again, as Brzezinski later intimated, the fact that publicly, the news was reporting after the Soviets invaded, we helped these freedom fighters, the Afghan Mujahideen, fight off the Soviet invasion and beat that back. But really, as Brzezinski said, it's about 6 months before the Soviets invaded, we started arming and training the Mujahideen. And of course, that included buying off operatives like Osama bin Laden, the guy who was attending King Abdul Aziz School for Economics and Management and dropped out because he was recruited by the CIA to form this coalition of Mujahideen fighters. Remember Robin Cook's article where he said Al-Qaeda, literally the database, was the database of the CIA database of the thousands of Mujahideen fighters who were recruited to fight the Soviets. It's always that scenario. This is what these people do. So anyway, back to the Constitution. Congress has the power to declare war, to raise and support armies. But for how long? To raise and support armies. But no longer, no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. Congress can raise armies and support them for 2 years. According to the Constitution, we've been in Afghanistan for 16 years now. What did Afghanistan have to do with September 11th? More specifically, or the war on terror? A better question is, what did Afghanistan have to do with the events of September 11th or the war on terror that was not a product of the Western military intelligence industrial complex, the Western security apparatus and functionaries? What did Afghanistan have to do with any of that that was not predicated essentially on the CIA's involvement? We'll just put it that way. Because going back for decades, anything that's been happening there, do you realize you can go to the Wikipedia entry for Operation Cyclone and see even Wikipedia, the whitewashed, watered down, sanitized version of everything, even Wikipedia, the entry for Operation Cyclone says the CIA was funding these militants and their Salafists. You won't see that, but you will see the CIA leaned heavily on recruiting militant radical Islamists. They were Salafists. You know that ideology that all the beheading and the Sharia law, the convert or die, and women have to be covered and all that? That's Salafism. It's Wahhabism on tour. What is the state religion in Saudi Arabia? It is Wahhabism. That's where it comes from. Look at the Salafi Wikipedia entry that says under the section titled Views on Extremism, Wahhabism or Salafism is sponsored globally by Saudi Arabia. The ideology and including funding. This is what's happening. And are we surprised when we have offloaded responsibility for wars and things? See, now we can just kind of anesthetize our conscience. We can go to sleep on this because now the congressmen and women that we elect don't have to, you know, they don't have to declare war anymore. When was the last time Congress declared war? December 8, 1941. It takes a long time. We don't have time. Sometimes, well, you know, Pearl Harbor was attacked December 7, Sunday, December 7, 1941. Monday, FDR was in Congress saying, hey, we need to declare war. That's a pretty quick response, wouldn't you say? Congress said, no doubt about it, even though that was a setup. Like all of these conflicts are. But I digress. You know, if you're not familiar, again, go to Ralph Epperson's website, ralpheperson.com. Read his book. Fantastic book. But he has for years had a copy of the Hilo Tribune Herald front page from the week before those fateful events. The Hilo Herald Tribune front page above the fold. Sunday, November 30th, 1941, the headline, the top headline, front page above the fold, Japan may strike over weekend. Now, knowing that, and then going back in history and understanding that the, how much of the Pacific Fleet was harbored, and that the way that Pearl Harbor is shaped, essentially, if there's an attack, that you know about, there is no way to prevent the absolute destruction of the entire fleet's forces that are docked in harbor, because the harbor itself is a choke point. But we didn't know, really. Somehow the Hilo Tribune Herald knew a week in advance and ran a front page headline. But this is the way all these conflicts work. It's always the same evil people creating these battles, but I'm getting way off track. We need to get back on track. So Congress has the power to declare war. We have these conflicts that are really they are unconstitutional, quite frankly. Apparently we don't care. We've lost sight of history, but I need to get back to the Kurzweil subject matter. So do you understand? We played the clip of Eric Schmidt saying the internet will disappear. What does he mean? What is he talking about? The internet won't disappear, as you heard it described. And that was, by the way, those remarks were from World Economic Forum back in January of 2015. That's almost 3 years ago now. And these things are accelerating. So they've already planned it. If you listen to the folks at the tech conferences, they'll tell you this is coming, augmented reality, virtual reality. We've played that clip of Michio Kaku, the futurism talks that you can find on YouTube. And he says, wearable technology like this, it's a chip that you stick in you. Aren't you the wearable if the chip is in you? Isn't the chip wearing you? That's how the internet's going to disappear? You're going to stick a chip in me? Unbelievable. But this stuff is coming faster and faster, and we'll talk more about it when we come back. Stick around more after this break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Things are accelerating, man. You know, we'll get to some stuff. Final segment of the first hour already. I don't mean to rant too much, but you know, this stuff is all connected. It's all the same subject matter. When you really understand, and I want to talk about kind of what is happening. We'll connect some dots this week. I should mention, well, I'll save that for the top of the second hour. There are some guests coming this week that I think have done some great work, especially on YouTube. There are folks, the unwashed masses largely are out on YouTube, and they don't understand the conflict that has been waged out there. YouTube has been conducting a massive and increasing censorship effort. Dennis Prager University recently sued YouTube for censorship. There are a number of other folks, smaller content creators, who are banding together arm in arm, it would seem, to file similar lawsuit or suits. And most people, I don't think, realize, you know, if stuff just vanishes, channels, videos. I've mentioned a couple of the playlists that I've created for the Las Vegas incident back on October 1st. The first two playlists I created were deleted by YouTube. The first had about 500 videos in it. The second, about 1,000, and just arbitrarily deleted. Which is interesting. None of the videos were videos I created. Before the playlists were deleted, dozens of the videos were either deleted or marked private, which is a practice Google has also been using to soft censor certain channels. Your videos are just marked private without your knowledge or kind of unbeknownst to you. A lot of people have complained about that too. But when you have folks like Philip DeFranco complaining about the censorship, that should tell you something. It's not, this practice is not reserved to certain groups of people. It is a growing censorship of anything that challenges the establishment narrative in any way. And that's a dangerous precedent. These technocrats, though, that's what they do. They think that they know everything. Speaking of Eric Schmidt, I want to give you kind of a follow-up video to the one that we played. Eric Schmidt saying the internet will disappear. What did he mean? And again, getting back to Ray Kurzweil, just to kind of wrap that thought up, think about it. Ray Kurzweil published back in 1999 the Age of Spiritual Machines. This is the plan. This was the plan all along. Direct neural pathways. In the future, this is what Ray Kurzweil envisioned. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. They want to connect the internet directly to your brain. When Eric Schmidt says the internet will disappear, that's exactly what he means. And you heard the explanation was basically, you know, you're used to typing on a keyboard and looking at a screen. Oh no, that's going away. You won't have a keyboard or a screen anymore. Well, then how do you access the internet? Well, it'll just be in your brain, or it'll be on the wallpaper, as Michio Kaku would say. It'll be in everything, the IoT, the Internet of Things. As this discussion gains preeminence, you've already